Welcome to podcast 11 in this series on internal communication practice governance. This one is continuing the theme of having our own house in order. Inevitably, the IC function is going to be credible when it comes to supporting line managers with their internal communication activities only if it has its own house in order first. Now, there's no question that as a specialist business discipline, internal communication has come a huge distance over the last couple of decades. But has it come far enough to be able to credibly start laying down the law to others? And could even the idea of IC practice governance act as a catalyst to go so much further, not just to gain more influence and fulfillment, but to put to bed once and for all a slew of potential niggles and frustrations you may have inherited from those who came before you? What if it could do that for you? So in this session, we're going to invite you to do a little soul searching and perhaps make a start on a bit of house cleaning. Because we've produced a list of 10 common everyday challenges which we have heard IC specialists bringing up time and again, and which never seem to go away. So we're going to go through them in a moment and invite you to note the ones that make you go, oh yeah. And the reason this is important is that each of these is telling you that as brilliant as you unquestionably are at your job, your house isn't yet in as good an order as it could be, and in fact as it needs to be, if you're going to be able to support the line managers as they could and should be supported. Now, before going through this list, we feel it's vital to emphasize that no matter how many of these you recognize, whether they apply to you or members of your team, there isn't a single one of them that's your fault. They are simply part of the legacy you have inherited from the people who came before you, who inherited it from the people before them, and so on. So not only are they not your fault, they're really nobody's fault. Nobody is to blame for any of this. So no one needs to feel bad or defensive about these issues, but you do need to get on the front foot with any that are still malingering if you are to get your house completely sorted. Now, of course, not everybody recognises all these challenges, but pretty much everyone does recognise at least a couple. Most folk can identify with maybe half of them or even more. And plenty of IC specialists can tick off all 10, usually doing so with a bit of a sigh and a wry smile. So here are those top 10 niggles. You may want to grab a pen and paper at this point, or open up a file on a tablet or something, and just jot down the numbers of the ones that resonate with you. Number one, you sometimes have to produce communications for people who don't know what they want, but they'll know it's what they want when they see it. Does that ever happen to you or members of your team? How about number two? You sometimes get called in on projects at the last minute. Three, some people won't put aside enough time to brief you properly. Four, some people make inappropriate changes to your drafts or ignore your recommendations to improve their copy. Five, it takes ages to get text approved because so many people want to get involved and make changes, perhaps sometimes even correcting each other's corrections. Six, you haven't enough budget to do the job as well as you feel it ought to be done. Seven, you put loads of work into some communication projects only to have them cancelled at the last minute. Eight, you don't have as much influence in the organisation as you feel you deserve. Nine, you'd like more confidence in your own or your colleagues' copywriting skills. And 10, you'd like more confidence in the amount of meaningful business value you're adding. So that's the list. What does your personal tally come to? And how does it make you feel? In our experience, a lot of people just kind of shrug their shoulders at this point and say, yeah, well, that's just how the world is, isn't it? And you just have to kind of live with it. which is a perfectly understandable response if they don't see any way of solving these issues and have got plenty of other work on their plate each day. Otherwise, they just go mad. But there are three important things you need to know about this list. Firstly, it's nothing new. We put it together in, wait for it, 1996. 1996, 25 years ago, when email was just getting established, no one had even heard of the term intranet, and enterprise social networks were still well over a decade away. And yet, despite all the huge advances that have happened over the last couple of decades, these common challenges are still as alive and well, or alive and ill today, as they were a quarter of a century ago. And what does that tell us about the attitudes of managers and leadership teams the world over? It's interesting, is it not? The second point to make about this list is that it is by no means exhaustive. We just selected 10 of the more common ones that we came across back in the mid-90s. Chances are you may well be able to add a few niggles and frustrations of your own. In fact, we're going to suggest you pause this podcast for a moment and spend a minute doing exactly that, thinking through any perennial challenges and frustrations that always seem to be there in the background, anything that might long have been quietly gnawing away at the joy and fulfillment of your work, perhaps knocking your confidence a little and adding to any sense of overwhelm, all of which are letting you know your house isn't yet fully in order. Now, this is important, so give yourself a minute to do it right now before we move on to what you can do about these issues, because you deserve this. So do it now. Now, whatever you have come up with, chances are those challenges are going to be just as frustrating as the ones on our list from 25 years ago, and they could all do with being cleared out of your working life, whether you want to help line managers up their communication game or not. But if you do want to introduce IC practice governance, sorting out these issues wouldn't be an option. It would be imperative, which, even if it seems like a tall order, brings us on to our third point about this list of common issues. As we mentioned a few moments ago, many folk seem to have resigned themselves to living with these frustrations, either because they believe they're unsolvable, or because they wouldn't know where to start, or because they simply don't have time to tackle them. How about you? Where are you at with these issues? Because if you consider them for a moment, have you ever actually given yourself a chance to just pause and think about what your life would be like without them? Can you imagine? Do you dare to imagine what your Monday mornings would be like if you knew you were going into a situation where, one, your clients are always able to clearly identify what they want right from the off. Two, you are always getting called in on projects in good time so you can do the job right and add maximum value without having to work silly hours to get through it. Three, everybody is always putting aside enough time to brief you properly. Four, people are always only ever making appropriate changes to your drafts and are always taking on board your valid recommendations to improve their copy. Five, your communications are always being approved rapidly with the irreducible minimum of rework. Six, you always have enough budget to do the job as well as you feel it ought to be done. Seven, you're always working only on communication projects that have a realistic chance of coming to fruition. Eight, you always have as much influence in the organization as you want and feel you deserve. Nine, you always have justifiable confidence in your own and all of your colleagues' copywriting skills. And 10, you always have justifiable confidence that you are adding huge, meaningful business value every day. How would that be? And if you want, you could look at the list of any additional challenges you've written down and turn them around as well. For each one, you can think through, okay, if I don't want that, what would my ideal alternative scenario be instead? And how would that feel? How would your team feel? It's interesting, is it not? But is it not also just a pipe dream? Are we now simply building castles in the air here? After all, these turnarounds aren't just going to spontaneously happen, are they? Where are you going to find the time to make these changes? How are you going to get the permission you need? Why, after all these years, should people let you make these changes? Well, let's start with the time issue, because, of course, we all know the time thing is a bit of a red herring. If something's important enough, people will always make the time for it. But if you don't know where to start, it's tough to know how much time you're likely to need. That's why it can be useful to have a process to follow, which can enable you to size up the task at hand and work out a step-by-step plan for each and every issue you want to turn around. But as for the permission thing, well, there are two points to consider here. First of all, what makes you think you're the only one who's frustrated by these inherited issues? Do you think your clients might not be experiencing their own stresses about it, at least some of the time? Do you think approval group members love having to go back through the umpteenth draft? Of course they don't. So why wouldn't they give you permission? Well, perhaps it's a step into the unknown for them too. Might they be losing a little bit of control if they let you change things around? What would it cost them in terms of time or money? And how could they have confidence that the end results would be any better than the devil they already know? These are surely valid concerns, are they not? And it kind of sounds like what they may need is some sort of safety net that would make it safe for them to let you go ahead. And the good news is, you can give them one. Because throughout this series, we have returned time and again to one simple concept. DFVP. Working practices which are demonstrably fit for valid purposes. So right from the off, everybody can see the purpose of any change you want to make. They can see what makes that purpose valid, and they can see your workings out. What makes your new way of working demonstrably fit for that demonstrably valid purpose? And because they can see your workings out, they can't end up with less control, only more. Which means that with the right approach, getting your house in order is absolutely doable. And it leads to an interesting sort of crossroads, because we're now in Q4 of 2021. And if you think about that list of frustrations and compare it to the list of alternatives, which of those two lists would you like to be taking into 2022? Because it will be one or the other, won't it? And if you would rather it's the groovy, empowering list, you can find loads of insights to support you in the other podcasts in this series and tons of free resources on the ComGame website, which is all fine and fab, although it does mean there's quite a lot of, you know, stuff to search through to truffle out what you want. So if you'd rather take a shortcut, you could just get in touch with us and arrange a call, and we can point you to what you need and even help you put together that step-by-step plan. We hope you found this useful, and thank you for listening.